This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Welcome to Charged Up Studio Live, where small business owners get charged up for success. Are you a small business owner? Do you find yourself struggling through the many responsibilities that come with the title entrepreneur? Well, we're here for you. Charged Up Studio is hosted by Market Atomy LLC, your prescription for what we call OPA. What is OPA? It's when you become so overwhelmed with the confusion that comes with business ownership that you become paralyzed and ultimately avoid doing anything in hopes it will take care of itself or you put it off till later. Does that sound familiar? I'm your host, Dan Olivo, and each week we bring a business professional eager to charge you up as they talk about the many things that keep you from moving forward with your small business. So are you ready to get charged up for success? Let's hit it. Good morning and welcome back to Charged Up Studio. I'm Dana Olivo, your host. And today we bring you a very exciting and relevant topic that I'm sure will have you standing on your feet and taking notice. We've all been touched at one point or another by cyber criminals over the years. Ever since we opened our lives to digital media and the internet, we've invited others to test our boundaries and entrench themselves into our lives. Today's guest is a very dear friend and an expert when it comes to protecting ourselves from costly cyber criminals and attacks designed to hold us hostage. Without further ado, let's give a heartfelt welcome to Mr. Ken Johnson with US IT Systems. Hi, Ken.
And a very good morning to you.
It's been a long night for you. You just came back from Miami, a very informative and beneficial show down there, right?
It always is. It's our first show of the year where we are out seeking new vendors and new tools in order to combat cyber criminals and in order to provide a better overall cyber experience for all of our customer base.
Very good. Well, before we get started, can you give us just a little bit of background on how you got involved in this? And what excites you and what doesn't excite you about it?
Well, I've been involved in technology since very early in the 80s. I've grown up around technology and been heavily involved with making things work in the computer environment. As the world of technology evolved over the years and the internet came into play and all of that connectivity came into play, I've followed that technology and I've followed that. And I've always been skeptical from my side as to where's the security in this? How do you protect your information? And that goes back to the days of watching people with these big platters of information and these big wheels of magnetic tape in large computer rooms. And how do you protect that data? And if you remember the early Halon systems for computer rooms, that was, you know, a big deal in order to make sure that, you know, all of your punch cards didn't catch on fire and burn.
But, punch cards is a long time ago.
It is, but I mean, managing that risk, you had all of your payroll data in these large computer rooms in companies, and we move that forward into running computer networks when we came out with the PC, because the capability of connecting the PC and the computer power in a PC exceeded the ability of the bandwidth to connect to a larger computer. And so the evolution came there. Well, then once again, we had very early on, we had computer viruses where you know, somebody would take a floppy disk and put it in a computer and it would be infected with a virus, and how to protect against that. Had hard drive failures, how to recover data because people didn't back up. And so data security became a day in and day out operation of being able to make sure that when people were working on a computer, they didn't lose their Lotus 1-2-3 spreadsheet.
Yes.
And be able to manage that and maintain it. So it's just been an evolution. And now we've gone full circle. The ability to connect to large mainframes and data centers is there because of the connectivity of the internet, and
right.
And the amount of power that I carry in my cell phone exceeds what I had on my desktop, you know, 20 years ago. Now, how do you protect all that? How do you protect the mobile devices? How do you protect your desktop?
Right. You know, it's really really interesting the way things have transformed how we connect, not only between companies or anything like that, but the hackers out there have really started becoming very knowledgeable and smart on how they can go ahead and interrupt our systems and you know, attack us. Talk a little bit about what you've seen that we as small business owners should be paying attention to.
Well, item number one is what's your biggest risk? What is the biggest risk of any business? Is it your firewall? Is it your antivirus? No. It's your people. Cyber awareness, cyber training is number one in my humble but totally correct opinion, is number one in what needs to be trained and what people have to do to be aware. It's unbelievable to me the number of people that when something comes in their inbox, they just click on it without thinking. I am vigilant with all of my customers that say, look at it, read it. If somebody sends you a PDF file or a cute cat picture, before you click on that, do you know who it came from? If you don't, and we do a lot of accounting firms, if you don't know who it's from, don't open it. Even if you do know who it's from and you're not expecting it, don't open it. The smartest thing to do is pick up the phone, dial that person. Did you send me this spreadsheet? Okay, I'm going to, would you mind if I send it to my cybersecurity guy and scan it before I open it?
Yeah.
And a lot of my customers send it into my team and my team loads it on a sandbox and scans it.
Now, my...
Amazing.
Yeah, my email will go and scan things automatically that comes through. And before I open it, it will either tell me that they were able to scan it or they were not able to scan it.
That's great. And I hope that system you're using is perfect and infallible.
Well, and that's exactly it.
I'm going to warn you, we have this little thing out there called AI with this new ChatGPT thing that everybody's all excited about. And guess what? The cyber criminals are excited about it too, because their English has gotten so much better.
Right. No, that's exactly it, you know. And plus the fact that now, what we see is it's not a matter of whether you recognize it or not, because it can be coming straight from your list. It might
Yes.
be coming from somebody, you know. Now, are there ways of them getting in strictly with it hitting your inbox and you just opening the email rather than just the attachment?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. And filtering and the inbox filters, Gmail and Microsoft, they do very, very well at capturing that stuff.
Right.
But every once in a while there's a zero day, which means that it's an attack that happens the same day as Microsoft and Google and everybody else is trying to go through and find these things and capture it. So they're the zero day threats are out there, but your probability of getting hit by a zero day when you're a small to medium business is relatively low. So usually that gets filtered out. But for the larger companies, the risk is still there. One of the things I tell all of my customers is turn off auto preview because an attachment can be auto previewed. The email can
Interesting.
be auto previewed.
Because that automatically opens up any attachments, right?
It can, depending upon the settings. Or it can
Interesting.
preview the email automatically.
Okay. So we're talking about emails right now. What other intrusions should small businesses, you know, I understand what you're saying as far as our first line of defense is our employees and teaching them what they should and should not. Okay, what's step number two? What should we be watching for?
Anytime you're on the internet, surfing the web, I don't care if you're using whatever, Edge, Google, Chrome, whatever Safari, whatever tool you're using, there are evil websites out there. And you don't have to be out surfing something bad. Even ads that are placed on websites can contain crap that can infect you. And I'm going to talk to about one particular customer in North Carolina, and I'm sure he'll watch this webcast. His father works for him, and his father is not as cautious as some people are, and not as cautious as the rest of his staff. And his father loves digging through and just looking at all kinds of political websites and all kinds of other sites. And I'm going to say once a week he infects his computer and I get this phone call because he's pretty heavily isolated from the rest of the network for obvious reasons. And we've had to make sure that he doesn't walk away from one computer. And if somebody is left logged into their computer, he doesn't just sit down at their desk and continue on. So
Right.
it's been some of an educational thing, but it's once a week he'll hit a website that'll put an infection or a key logger onto his desktop. And that key logger will just start collecting every keystroke you have and send it off to
Wow.
Uzbekistan,
Yes, no,
or some
definitely.
other stand. And that's your risk. So you've got to know where you're going to. I've got another gal that I probably every quarter she went she put in the search site Dollar General to find out what the specials were at the local Dollar General. And the search engine had been hijacked enough to not take her to the true Dollar General website. And
Right.
she got taken off to another website. And she was smart enough, as soon as she saw it, she knew she had a problem. And she ripped the plug out of the wall and picked up the phone and called me and said,
Wow.
I
Yeah.
know what I did. I know what I did. I'm sorry. Can you help me? It's like, yeah.
Well, you wouldn't expect that, you know,
No,
none of
no.
us would really expect it. So,
But I worked with her enough to be aware of the fact
right.
that we saw the stuff starting to populate on our system to immediately stop it.
Right, exactly. So when we're talking about protecting ourselves, okay, let's talk about backing up and cloud computing and things like that. What are some of the security aspects that we can build into our system to protect us even more?
Well, hold on. Before you even go that direction, because
okay.
now you're talking about recovery. Because what are backups? Backups are recovery. They're disaster recovery. You've got a problem. You've got a disaster, environmental. You know, your house burns down. Your office burns down. You blow away on a hurricane or a tornado. I'm from the Midwest, so you know tornadoes were an issue. Hurricanes weren't.
Mm-hmm.
We never had any hurricanes in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you that's recovery. So you've got to look at, and I'm going to go. We've talked about this. I'm going to go to the NIST standard.
Right.
You've got to evaluate your risk. What are my risks? Well, I never go on the internet and I never search the internet. I only get email and respond to email. Okay, so your risk is only through email. Yeah, so you've got to identify your risk. You've got to identify preventive measures. Oh, I'm going to use, you know, SentinelOne or WebRoot or Windows Defender. And that's going to be my first line of defense. Okay, so risk, defense, then what do you do in the event of a disaster? Are you protected to do recovery? Do you need to recover your entire system, or do you only need to recover your data?
Right.
So there's two different layers to that. I've got a Dell desktop sitting here. Okay, just came in. It went down hard because of a lightning strike. We have that in Florida. And so we've had to recover the system. And so we recovered the system, but in doing so, it wiped all the data.
Mm.
So in wiping the data, how do you recover the data? Well, all the data is backed up on OneDrive or Google Drive, or some people back everything up on a flash drive. And what's the risk in recovery? I had a system a year ago that everything was backed up on an external hard drive. Well, that external hard drive died. It
mm-hmm.
was corrupt and damaged.
Mm-hmm.
The customer had to pay $2,500 to restore their data, and they only got 95% of their data back. They lost stuff that was critical to their operation, and it hurt to rebuild it.
Right.
Cost thousands of dollars to rebuild it. So I tell people, you've got to look at your backup, you've got to look at your risk, and you've got to look at what your level of pain is. You know, it's just like with your insurance, your car insurance. Oh, I've got a $500 deductible, or I've got a $5,000 deductible. What's the level of pain you can lose? I can lose 5% of my data and I'm okay. Yeah, I can lose all of my data and I'm okay.
Okay.
If you're a minister and what you're trying to do is back up your old sermons, yeah, then maybe you can live with none of your data. Yes, I had that happen.
Well,
sorry, Reverend Bob, if you're watching this.
Yeah. Well, you know, you know, I've had my computer go down twice over a 10-year period. But the data was the most important part. As far as the applications and everything, those were easily replaceable.
All recoverable.
Especially when they're cloud-based. Yeah.
Correct.
Right.
Now,
but the data is what's important because it's a lot of, you know.
Sure.
It's a lot of work that went into that. So.
Now, yeah. How long does it take to recover that system? Because if you can live without your computer for a week or two while you rebuild the operating system, you get the new hard drive, you go get the applications and recover the applications. And oh my Lord, I don't have the licensing key. I got to pay for a new licensing key. Okay, a week, 10 days, you get that back. Now you start pulling your data off the cloud. Now, okay, can you survive for 7 days?
No.
Can you survive for 3 days?
No, I've got to be back to work that day.
You have to be.
Yep.
Now, there are some people that can go 7 to 10 days. Now, you're an accounting firm. I love picking on accounting firms.
Yeah.
Sorry, Betty. I love picking on accounting firms because accounting firms during tax season, if their system goes down on April 13th and they're not back up for 3 days, what do you think happens when they're paying late fees for all of their customers?
Right, right.
So my accounting firms I work with heavily, and I make sure that they're structured and set up for a 4-hour recovery max.
Right.
In most cases, I can have them up and operational in limited form inside of 1 hour.
Right.
But
right.
Worst case is a 4-hour recovery time.
Hmm. So we, you know, that's good to know. That's good to know, you know, because I mean, I know me when it comes to technology, if it's not right at my fingertips, you know, I go crazy. I'm lost. I can't do anything without my technology, you know, without my data, without my technology. But let's talk a little bit about the cyber attacks. What is it? The viruses, the ransomware. Let's talk about that and how to protect ourselves from being
back up.
Yeah. Yeah. You've run
by
into
the way, did I mention backing
this.
Up?
Huh? Yeah.
Did I mention backing up?
Backing up. Yes.
I mean, the ransomware hits your system, encrypts all your data. And when they hit your system and encrypt all your data, they're going to say, send this money in Bitcoin to wherever, this account. And even if you do, you generally only have a 40 to 50% chance of them actually releasing your data instead of just taking the money and going, ha ha.
Right.
And that's the government standards and the Secret Service standards, they said, don't pay it. Make sure you're backed up. Make sure you're in a disaster recovery mode.
Right.
Ransomware is, I've had 9 recoveries of ransomware with customers. And every one of them I've had fully up and operational within 4 hours after being hit.
Interesting.
And none of them have paid out to the ransomware. I will tell you, the last line of defense on any disaster recovery is cyber liability insurance.
Yeah. And it's not expensive at all.
It's getting different.
Yeah,
because the cyber liability insurance back in the day, IBM XT days and the early days of DOS, you could do cyber liability insurance with Data Security Insurance Company for $69 a year.
Right.
And they learned and went away, because a lot of it was fraud, but they also didn't have any requirements in place. These cyber insurance companies now have requirements in place. These underwriters send you this questionnaire and they say, are you doing these things? I just did the cyber required insurance requirement questionnaire with a large Central Florida operation that we went through this and one of the guys said, well, are you sure you're doing it this way? The underwriter came back and questioned me. And I logged into the systems and I demonstrated what our recovery process is. I didn't just say yes. I mean, I demonstrated it, because that if you do not have in place what you say you do on the underwriter's questionnaire, your insurance is worthless.
Right.
have to make sure that the procedures are in place that the underwriters require.
Okay. So you talked earlier, and we've had this conversation about the requirements and guidelines, and you talked about the NIST standards or whatever. Can you talk about what is NIST?
Well, NIST is the National Institute of Standards and Technology. And again, in my humble but totally correct opinion, they are the foundation. And if you look at, you know, HIPAA health insurance requirements, if you look at SOC for accounting firms, if you look at the IRS requirements, and if you look at any of the government requirements, or all of the government requirements, and anybody knows all the government requirements, they're hanging out with the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain. Mm-hmm. But the government requirements and the state and the federal, all of them boil down to some subset of NIST. So if you go on to NIST 800, the cybersecurity platform, every one of these agencies, they pull parts and pieces out of NIST and say, this is what's important to what you're doing. So when I talk about the NIST core evaluation, that core evaluation is determining what your risk is and determining what you have to do in order to protect against that risk. And so if you follow the NIST standard and you look at whatever subsets are required for your particular industry, and then you go back through and you really look at the NIST standard and you go, you know, I've got these risks over here that are not being addressed by the SOC or the IRS or some government requirement. I've got these other risks I should protect against them too. And that's one of the things that I'm really big on is don't just do this subset that you're required to do. Go after your entire risk platform and minimize your entire risk platform. I've also said that cyber insurance and cyber security, you can be insurance poor. Right. I mean, I can buy car insurance that has a zero deductible that protects against everything, and my premium is more than replacing my car every year.
Right.
So you got it. Go to my grandfather. Mm-hmm. Does the risk outweigh the gain? Does the risk of not having something covered outweigh the gain of having it covered?
Well, and as small business owners, we really should be paying attention to that because, like you said, you know, even one day out of work because your data's been stolen or you've been cyber attacked or something like that, you know, may be the difference between, you know, 2 months recovery time or, you know, 6 months recovery time because of the fact that, you know, by not protecting ourselves and then not having the funds to do what needs to be done, it just takes a long time for us to, you know, as small business owners to be able to rebuild where we were. All right. So there's levels when it comes to NIST, when we're talking about protection, there are levels that we're going to be looking at. As far as our business. And like you said, it's the risk evaluation. You know, what is that risk? If we're only opening ourselves up for risk to email, which more than likely is never going to be the case because,
correct. You
know, who all does not search and get answers before they go and act on something, you know? Yeah.
Add in the next complexity of this. From COVID, work
yes.
from home.
Yeah.
And I had customers that sent their employees home and said, oh, just have them log into their computer at work. From what? the same computer at home that the your 9-year-old plays whatever Fortnite game on.
Right.
And their 14-year-old is doing web searches for their high school project.
Right.
And a whole nother level.
Yep, and that's exactly it. You know, here in my house, we've got one that has to worry about the HIPAA requirements, and then another one is in DOD, and both of those have to be hardwired and not through the router, you know, or the through the Wi-Fi or anything right. like that, you know. Right. So there is a lot of security that even in your home computer, in your home system, you should be taking advantage of. You know, such as firewalls and things like that. Yes.
And one of the simplest thing to do is just to set up a separate login for mom or dad to use on the home computer for the work access.
Yeah.
So that the other family members do not have the ability to click on and get to the work access, period.
Right, right. Exactly.
So there's ways to segment it.
Exactly. So let's talk a little bit as we come up on the end of our program. Let's talk a little bit about the government side of things, because you and I both know we're working together and we're moving more and more into government procurement. And a lot of these government agencies have their own levels of security that need to be in place. Okay. You've worked at NASA, you've worked at, you know, several different organizations. What should we, as small business owners, be looking at if we plan on going after these government procurement programs?
Most of them are pretty easy for simple procurement. Protect your data, complex passwords, antivirus installed. Most of them are pretty easy and pretty clean. And are a simple basis, and doing a core assessment for the standard gives you those answers really quick. The biggest thing I have issues with when I'm working with a customer that's going after government procurement is digging through what government agency requirement maps back to which NIST standard.
Okay.
And if government agencies would just be forthright and honest and say, this is where we pulled it from, that'd be great.
Right.
But everybody wants to create their own little silo of why we're great and build this you know complex piece that really doesn't have to be that complex. But if you boil it all down, I've never found a requirement that doesn't map back to some NIST standard.
Okay. Well, great. No, that's nice to know, because like I said, moving forward, this is something that over the next probably 18 months, we're going to be seeing more and more of the government procurement side and making sure that they are compliant with what is required with whatever they're going after.
Well, and as a small business, if mm-hmm. you're not going after government procurement, you're being foolish.
Yes.
Because there's the government used to send everything out. And well, if you remember the Commerce Business Daily with all their GSA stuff in it, that I used to have to read every day. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not playing that game anymore. They realize there's small businesses out there that have value to add and value to bring to the government agencies, and the government is willing to help the small business, so they're not just feeding the monopolies.
Right.
So there's a lot of opportunity there.
There is, and especially with the recession coming looming over us the end of this year, the beginning of next year, you know, the who's spending the money is the government. And if you can get in with the government on some of these jobs, you know, that's what you want to do. But as you said, you know, them actively seeking out small businesses and having programs set up, such as the 8A set aside.
Right.
And then what I'm heavily involved in is the no bid contracting program, which is specifically set up for small businesses so they don't have to compete.
Yep. You know. And most of those requirements are really pretty easy unless you're dealing with extremely sensitive data.
Yeah, unless you're dealing with DOD or something like that, you know.
And even then, most of it's fairly easy to comply. They're not trying to make it hard on you. They're really trying to make it easy on you. It's just that, like I say, every compliance officer wants to write their own document and put their name on it instead of just saying conform to these 8 or 10 NIST pieces, subpieces of the 800 standard, and you're good.
Right. Well, you know, we're coming up on the end of another podcast here with Charged Up Studio. We've been talking with Ken Johnson with US IT Systems, and we've been talking about cybersecurity and how to protect us as small business owners. Ken, do you have any last minute tips or anything you want to leave our audience with?
If you don't know who it came from, call them. Don't click.
I've been caught in that. I've been caught in that. So
call them. Did you really send me this?
Yes. Yeah. And
please don't send those baby pictures to my work email.
That's true. So, and then also, just for your information, Ken and I are pulling together a cybersecurity training program that right now we are planning on having done within the first quarter of this year. So that'll be a big help for a lot of small businesses, because that will go up on marketademy.academy as far as that's concerned. Ken, how can people get a hold of you should they want to hire you to protect their systems or just have questions for you? How can they reach you?
Well, they can always call you. You know how to find me all the time. So
yes.
But the website is usitsystems.com. And go to the website, fill out a contact form. Send an email to us through there. And that's the easiest way to get into us. So,
okay. And you're also on LinkedIn.
I am on LinkedIn.
Okay. And so that is it as far as Charged Up Studio is concerned. Okay. I hope that you are able to gain some insight on how to protect yourself against cyber attackers, against ransomware, protect your business, protect your data, et cetera. Okay, my name is Dana Olivo, your host and CEO of Market Ademy LLC. Charged Up Studios brought to you each week on Tuesday and is part of the small business ecosystem developed with you in mind, the small business owner. If you would like more information on any of the programs offered to small business owners like yourself, reach out to marketademy.com. Until next week, go out and have a charged up week. Talk to you later.
You've been listening to Charged Up Studio Live, the podcast with you, the small business owner in mind, with your host, Dana Olivo. Join us every Tuesday as we bring you valuable tips and insights into many of the topics you don't know about growing a successful business. Please leave us a review on any of the streaming platforms you are listening to, or visit us on the YouTube or Facebook page and leave a review or subscribe so you don't miss another episode. You can also support us through Patreon by visiting our website, chargedupstudio.live, and click on the Patreon link. Until next week, go out and have a charged up week.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.